Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, everyone. Today, I'll be chatting with Megan and Lauren from The Matrescence. The Matrescence is a maternal mental wellness app created after personal and professional recognition of the gaps in care for women navigating their matrescence, or process of becoming a mother. Lauren is a psychiatric nurse practitioner who turned her pain into passion and teamed up with Megan, the marketing and business brains behind the operation, to create this space. Their app empowers women with valuable mental health resources. As a member-only community, it serves as a vital place for peer connection, education by accredited experts, and curated mindfulness-based stress reduction activities. The Matrescence app is now live and available globally in the App Store. They've been working hard on a free version of their app that allows women to download and use the app free of charge, with the opportunity to upgrade to a premium paid version and access to additional support as needed. This free version is currently now available. You can also find a unique discount code in today's show notes for the app as well. In today's episode, we get a little sidetracked in the beginning, talking about our thoughts on wellness capitalism here in America and how it tends to prey on mothers. I would love to hear your thoughts on the topics we touch on in the beginning of this episode, so please reach out with them. We will also discuss how simple breathing techniques can help give us the stress release we need throughout our busy days. Let's dive in. Just a little disclaimer before we start this episode. This podcast does not provide medical advice. The information on this podcast is for informational purposes only. No material on this site is intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. All right, everybody. Today we have Megan and Lauren here on the show. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
So we have a lot we were planning on talking about today. And originally, we were going to focus in on mindfulness, which we may still get to, I'm hoping. But I think we're going to dive into something else a little bit beforehand. But if you can just start with what made you both want to create The Matrescence. I'd love for you to just dive into what fueled you guys in the beginning.
Yes, we love to tell kind of our origin story and how we got started and how we got to where we are. It really started with personal and professional recognition in my life. Personally, I went through a really debilitating journey with postpartum anxiety after my oldest was diagnosed with a medical issue, and I found myself just in the undertow of anxiety, and I hadn't been there before. And, you know, despite working in healthcare and feeling like I had the support system that you would dream of, I still really fell through the cracks of support in this country and just felt like I was floundering for a really long time. Professionally, I was working in the NICU and seeing those moms go through that experience and the trauma of that, and then trying to go back to work to save their PTO or trying to find the funds to stay in a hotel and, you know, care for other children who were back home. And then, you know, we're discharged from that experience with little to no follow-up. So those two experiences, both really just the personal and professional recognition of how poorly the support for moms is really what encouraged this space and really encouraged me to go back to school, to psychiatric nurse practitioner school, to figure out how I could start to fill the gaps. There's so many voids in support for moms in this country, and I wasn't sure where I wanted to start, but I knew that, you know, getting a little bit more time and space to do the research and take a step back and look at the bigger picture was where I wanted to start.
As Lauren's friend, she brought this idea to me of how we can help these people, and she was going to create this beautiful practice and have so many patients a day. And we kind of did the math and we're like, you got to be able to help so many more women. You know, you can't be constrained by this time. And so when she brought this idea to me, we're like, let's meet moms where they are. And at that time, it was in quarantine on their phones in the middle of the night nursing their babies. And I was at the perfect storm of getting ready to leave my corporate job. I just had my third baby in the height of COVID and had to honestly just let go of that dream for our family. And that was really hard. because I had never envisioned myself as like a stay-at-home mom, mm-hmm. even though I know that's a privilege for a lot of people. That just wasn't my vision. So this was just divine timing for me to be like, okay, I'll use my business and background skills to help you build this app and meet moms where they are and put all of your education and knowledge in their hands so they can access it. So they're not spending time and resources bouncing around, listening to this noisy internet of opinion and actually get it from experts who have the education. So that's when we came up with the Matrescence as an app.
Yeah, we started having lots of conversations with, you know, between ourselves, with our friends, but more importantly, with thousands of women who, you know, once we kind of put this idea out into the world, people came from the woodwork to tell me, I've never told anyone this, or this was my experience, and I'm still dealing with this. And it was super humbling to be in a position to hear so many incredibly heartbreaking stories of women who were struggling or who had struggled for so long, and to be able to build a product around exactly what they wish they would have had or what they finally found that helped them to heal. So everything that we've created and what we really base our product and community around is conversations with thousands of women who wish they would have had more support.
And so can you explain, if I'm somebody that doesn't know anything about this app, when I sign into it, what am I looking at and what is it? What is it doing for me?
So it takes you on a journey. We like to find out where you are in your season of life. So whether you are pregnant, you're a new mom, a lot of our moms tend to be second-time moms because in our society, we focus so much on, thanks to Instagram, a beautiful nursery and these ridiculous binkies and all the things, and we forget about mom. So the second time mom was like, oh man, that was harder than I thought it was going to be. I'm going to do something for me this time. So they come to us, and then there's educational resources all from maternal health experts in a library. So whether that's, hey, I need the 101 on pelvic floor health and what is normal, because peeing your pants is common, not normal. And so dismantling some of that and letting you know who can help you, or if it's a mental health issue, do you need to see a psychiatrist? Do you need to see a counselor? Like, there's so many different people, and it could be confusing and to know, like, is my insurance going to cover this? Do I need to see this person 12 times, one time? Mm-hmm. All these things. So there's all the education 101 there, but then there's also a huge mindfulness library with meditations, breath work, just little actionable takeaways that you can do throughout your day as a busy mom to better your overall health and well-being. And that's not going and sitting in a corner with incense on a rug meditating for half an hour. That's mm-hmm. in your car when you're chauffeuring your kids around, being able to play something that helps you recenter and calm down. And then the third pillar is connection, because that's undeniable that we need each other in this season. I mean, if we didn't learn anything from COVID, it was that we need each other. And just the validation of being able to talk to one another. Is anyone else feeling this? Getting recommendations, that peer support, but in a safe space where it's not like this crazy Facebook group where people are just rogue. It's monitored and controlled, and you can join groups whether you've experienced loss or whether you are going through a fertility journey or you're just a mom of three pulling her hair out like we are. So those are the three pillars.
Well, it sounds like, you know, it sounds like this app is filling a significant void of what should be offered and available to us as moms here in America. At least we should have the access to better postpartum care, including physical and mental. We should have access to just better community resources where we're able to connect in person with people that are at the same place that we are, where some people live like maybe more isolated and they have to connect online. And I totally get that. But we've kind of like lost touch of just like that in-person community aspect of everything, you know, especially with the internet. So it, and some people don't have that at their disposal, whether they might have, I don't know, maybe they're recovering from something and they're not able to leave their house, or they do live in like that really rural area where they're not able, they don't want to or can't travel. So definitely having that piece where it's like, hey, I can connect this way is really cool. You are, with this app, like fulfilling that void of what we should have, you know?
Absolutely. And it's like, it was so funny to us because being like a global platform wasn't on our list of check marks, you know, but then we're sort of getting these members from other countries. And we're like, oh, well, duh, they care about postpartum. And this is normal to spend money on yourself and to care for yourself for a year versus, God forbid, a mom in America spend $19.99 a month on her mental health and supporting her family.
Right.
That's a hurdle we have to overcome here. So it's been really cool to see it grow in that way.
So you guys had mentioned, this is kind of like off the, well, not really. It's on the same train track. So you guys mentioned the second time moms being like, no, like I want this to be about me. Like, you know, like it's not just about the kids. Like I already have all the stuff I need. And whenever I go to a baby shower, which is rare now, because, you know, you start getting older and it's more like about, you know, people are divorcing and things like that. It's not quite the fun stuff like weddings and baby showers. But I always suggest concentrate on the mom. Like the baby has enough crap. I guarantee you their list is probably already fulfilled. They already have everything they need. Concentrate on the mom and what they would want, you know, like whether that's, I don't know, like just a new pair of pajamas or something that's going to make them feel like a person once they've had this baby, right? We concentrate so much on like, what can we get this baby? And the baby doesn't need anything. It doesn't need anything. It really doesn't. We need everything. And I was just thinking in my head, do you guys have like a gift option where like, I think that would be really cool to present a new mom with like a year subscription to your app.
We do. We love this. I didn't know you were going to market for us. Thank you.
I didn't even plan on this. I swear to God, I wasn't going to open an episode like promoting your app. Like I wasn't, you know, obviously I'm going to mention it, but I'm just thinking in my head, like how much more, that's just so much more sustainable for a mom compared to like another jumper that their baby doesn't need.
And how do we shift the narrative, you know, to supporting mom is the foundation for supporting a baby. And, you know, the best way to give a gift to that baby is to make sure that mom is mentally and physically well. We absolutely love the gift option and hope that we can really start, you know, to shift that narrative. Like we talked about, there's so many huge issues moms are facing, especially in this country. But I think, you know, our hope is that we can start to shift some of that narrative that moms don't have to live in this like martyr mindset where we just have to deplete ourselves and spin like a top and do all the things all the time and forget to take care of ourselves. So our hope is that we can really start to encourage moms and shed light on the fact that we have to invest in ourselves to be able to continually invest in our babies and in our family.
Yeah. Now, do you accept like FSA and HSA?
We do. We accept them. Obviously, everyone's plans are a little bit different. So check with your provider, but we do. And we encourage that, especially the year, if they're FSA dollars, use them and buy a subscription for yourself.
Yeah.
It will go so much further than a material thing that you leave in your bathroom drawer and forget about.
Right. So when I had asked you to come on the podcast, I had said, I had come across one of your articles and like, let's really talk about mindfulness. And, you know, it's like, I was coming up with the questions and then I said, you know, the reason why they must have built this app and just like how I was feeling about motherhood. Anyways, it kind of like transected. And I was like, you know what, let's talk more about just how crazy it is that here in this country, we have so much at our fingertips, right? So we can immediately go online and find somebody somewhere trying to sell us something that's going to make our life, you know, quote unquote, easier. And there is no amount of money that you can spend on stuff that's going to make you feel better about the fact that we still don't have the postpartum care that we need. We still are not providing childcare like we should. We're paying an obscene amount of money for childcare. And in some cases, you can't even find spots for childcare. I have talked to so many moms who are like, one of my friends had to tell the daycare that she was having a kid like 9 months from now and I need a spot. That's insanity. Yeah. To be stressed out about where our kid is going to go so that we can work too much and stress about not having the time and the money and all the things. Like it's just, there are just so many systemic issues at play that I feel like are covered up. And I was telling you guys this beforehand that influencers online are kind of covering up with, hey, like this will make you feel better.
why don't you buy this new mattress for your kid, who it'll make them sleep through the night? And I'm saying this from a place of I did this. So like, I'm not shaming anybody, because I lived and did this, and I'm still trying to dismantle what my time online might have meant to other people. And I just, thinking now back, I wish I didn't support some of these brands that are just trying to honestly take advantage of mothers who are really hurting and who will not be given what they actually need, which is more support, whether it's community support, whether it's physical support after you have a baby, or whether it's child support, paid leave. All of these different things is what we really need to fix. And I feel like so much of the problem is that we are taking advantage of that by like trying to say, hey, at least that's how I feel about it. You know what I mean? Like, as a person who is online trying to be like, hey, like, X, Y, and Z. And yeah, did those product, did I like them? Sure. I never, ever promoted a product that I didn't like, but it's just like, do they really need it? You know? And what do we really need? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's hard because you're right. There's so much to dismantle there, because I don't think it's not to villainize influencers, because that woman or influencer is probably doing it so she can spend more time with her kids. So she's right. Not coming into the trap of corporate America.
Yes.
So it's not like they are to blame. They're not taking advantage. They're being savvy and they're being scrappy. And so I have to commend them too for finding ways to provide for their family or to fulfill themselves. So I don't think they're the villains, but do I think it's a problem? Yes. And I think we've just lost all of our like intuition. The stuff that, like, you know, that we're searching for on the internet is, it's just not going to solve problems. And we don't need other people to tell us that, you know, to be healthy, we need these aesthetically pleasing bowls that match so you can make your overnight oats. It's like, no, just freaking use some Tupperware and eat whatever you eat. It's crazy how much it like impacts all of the decisions we make, whether we're buying from that link or it's just like lingering in my mind that, oh, I can't afford that link, or, you know, it's wild.
Yeah. And you're so right with this idea of kind of capitalizing on the moment of, hey, like, well, if I am going to be at home with my kids, like, I can make money while I'm at home with my kids, and we need money because X, Y, and Z, you know, because we can't, you know, because of all, again, of the systemic issues that plague our country. How badass is it of you to say, hey, you know what? Well, if it's going to be this way, let's make some money, you know, and creating your own business and having really good intentions. You know, like, I remember going into it saying, oh, hashtag late night nursing feed. It was like one of my things in the very, very beginning when I was nursing my kids. And it was great because in the middle of the night, I would like post a question, I don't know, say it's on like cracked nipples or whatever. And people would comment saying, you know, whenever they are up through the night, they would check the feed and comment on it on the Instagram post. And I felt like things like that were so helpful, like, right, creating this, cultivating a community. And so it kind of like started from there, and then it quickly morphs, you know? And I think, and of course, capitalism. I mean, brands are going to like obviously jump on this and be like, well, we need to take advantage of this. And it's just, to me, it's sad because it's like, if all of us were to just kind of turn our heads and focus in on one specific thing that we would want to change, what could we get done? Like you were saying before we started that, you know, there's so many different issues. It can get really stressful to think about. We don't have time to be discussing and like being passionate about 16 different issues, but we can focus in on like one specific thing that really resonates with us, and maybe something that we struggled with, right? When we were either pregnant or postpartum or trying to get pregnant, whatever that thing is something that you can figure out how you can get more involved in it to try to seek change, you know?
Absolutely. And that can be as simple as setting those foundation in your house of what do we believe and what values are we living on? And are we trying to people please our in-laws and the people across the street? Or do we all know, people under this roof, what we are about and what our guiding light is? And that's another exercise that's in the app, is I think it's easy to get down this path of like, oh my gosh, everyone's talking about gun reform. Like, I have to go to every Moms on Demand meeting. I have to do all these things. And I think that's great. And I think it's amazing that there are people that are doing that. And we need that, but we can't do all the things. So it's right. Like, what is, like you were saying, what is the one thing you can do? And I think it can be as simple as raising good humans. to extending that hand back to the mother that is newly postpartum or that is struggling. And whether that's sharing your story or reaching out and checking again and again or dropping off a meal or however you can help them, I think that goes in the corporate world too. I mean, it's easy for me to say, well, I had to pump in a single stall restroom, so like figure it out. Mm-hmm. Or I can say like, hey, let's make these small changes and make it better for the next generation. We don't have to have this attitude of like, I walk to school 10 miles up a hill or whatever that old saying is.
Yeah. And I think when you mentioned that you now have this space where you have information that's really, really important to get into the hands of moms, no matter where they kind of are at, is so important in a time where misinformation is so rampant. I actually can't imagine really, because having been off just scrolling Instagram for a while, I can't imagine kind of the stuff that is on there now. And A, it's just dangerous because some of the information is just steering people in the wrong direction and can be harmful depending on what it is. But they can't, and they don't have access to like the right information. So having a place where somebody can go and they're like, okay, I know that the information here has been vetted by experts and it's where I need to find this information is huge. That's like a huge part of it. Because I feel like the wellness industry in general, when it comes to social media, is getting worse, not better. It's just, it's wild. It's like, hey, here's a new exercise or here's a meal that will absolutely like boost your breast milk and it'll make you lose your belly fat or whatever it is. And it's like, you can't make a person healthy by giving them like a one tip to do whatever it is if they're just constantly in an unhealthy environment, you know? Like, it's like just putting Band-Aids on everything. And in some cases, it's harmful because the information is just incorrect. So
right.
Kudos for you guys for like, figuring out that there was like a space for this and that people so desperately need a place to go for like reliable information.
Yes, for sure. That was such a catalyst for really building what we did. I mean, I was deep in Google dives just, you know, due to anxiety and things that I was thinking, and is this normal, and could not find anything, like expired Google discussion boards from like 2003. I'm like, okay, well, this isn't where I need to be. And you're right. It is so overwhelming and pretty terrifying that anyone on the internet can call themselves an expert. And a lot of, in general, unless you work in the healthcare field or in our arena, mental health or behavioral health, a lot of people don't know the difference between a self-proclaimed, you know, behavioral health coach or a psychiatrist or a psychologist right. or a counselor or an NP. So even just untangling all of that and, you know, really we're so proud of our library of resources because of that reason. There's a lot of people who have wanted to donate resources, but we've really kept it like credentialed health experts because there is just so much noise.
Yeah.
We really just want to put, vetted, you know, education that is created by credentialed experts so that women can have the education they need and make, you know, empowered decisions based on that. So it is, it's an overwhelming space.
And talk about more just systemic issues, the red tape and the things that we have to be careful and say and not say and spend money on to protect Lauren's license versus what this guru who misuses the word doctor in their handle can say is so maddening that, you're right. It's terrifying. It's terrifying to think that 2 million people think that celery juice might change the world.
It's absolutely crazy. I had I believe it was a dietitian. This was like a couple years ago now. So I think she was a dietitian. Anyways, absolutely loved her. And she kind of went on this like rant about this person that you're talking about. And she was like, I'm not even going to say his name because he's going to send me like a defamation request. And I was like, oh my word. How crazy is that? And when I create my podcast episodes, I'm like really careful to put like disclaimers about like, you know, this is just information. This is for informational purposes only. Like, this is not medical advice. And it's like, yet we can have people on the internet giving out the most asinine advice I have ever heard in my life. It's like crazy to me. And, you know, they don't get in trouble for it ever. It's whatever, you know?
That's what's so scary about it. It's like the wild, wild west for everyone except people who should be talking about it. And the people who should be talking about it are scared to talk about it because they're trying to protect a license that you don't actually have to talk about it.
Or they're addicted to insurance and it's impossible to actually see them and learn from them because of,
access structure. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so absolutely crazy. I have this book on like my next to read book, but I visited Denmark. I was a couple years ago now. My cousin was living there for a while. And so I went there with my family and we learned a lot about Denmark when we went, just that how incredibly they're just so empathetic to the people that work for businesses. Like every business is empathetic towards their workers, and they physically make them leave the building. So like my cousin works on Wall Street now, right? So he works in an industry in which they thrive on putting in too many hours, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's like, it's so weird, Linz. They just kick me out at like 3 or 4 p.m. Like they tell me I can't work anymore. I'm like, what does that feel like? And he's like, it's cool, but like, what am I going to do? Like, it's so funny because you don't even know what to do with like this extra time. And of course he was, you know, single. He didn't have kids, but he's like, I don't know. It's just so bizarre. But not only do they really care about the health, like the mental health and physical health of like the people that work for them, but they have a year paid maternity leave and paternity leave. They pay for higher education. They pay for your healthcare. They pay for daycare. It's insane when you like compare what the government helps support there when you compare it to here. And it's so funny because year after year after year, they're like, oh, the Danish, they're always the happy. They're always on the top of the happiest people on earth. And it's like, can we take some freaking notes? What the like, this is not rocket science, right?
Right.
I just don't get it. And like, it's funny because I came across an article today that was, oh, the US has slipped out of the top 20 happiest countries for the first time ever. And I'm like, well, no shit, Sherlock. I mean, did you not see that coming from a million miles away? Like, what?
We literally read that same article yesterday on the way home.
So funny.
On our trip, my husband and I. And it was like, is anyone surprised? Like, look at the pace at which we live and just how volatile this country feels. And sadly, it is no surprise to, it was no surprise to either of us. And, you know, it's these other countries have it figured out. And especially when it comes to supporting moms and families in the workplace, and we just have it so backwards. Like you said, it's like this badge of honor to be the last one to leave the office, or this badge of honor to clock in during your lunch break and get those last few emails sent. And we're just completely depleted and overworked. And then you add in motherhood and it's just damn near impossible to do
it. Yeah. It's just like the hyper individualism in this country is just, it's unlike any other place on earth, I swear. It's like, I don't know why we're so fixated on, you know, obviously individualism is important. We need to be able to like hold responsibility and, you know, do our own thing and all that, sure. But just this like competitive, like you said, needs to work the longest in the office is just, and the fact that that's awarded, you know, is just part of the problem.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Factor. Spring season is upon us, which means we are diving into sports with 3 out of 4 of our kids, and we're hitting the ground running. I'm always trying to find ways to make life just a little bit easier, and Factor helps us with that. Factor delivers ready-to-eat, dietitian-approved meals right to your doorstep. They make eating better every day easy. No prepping, cooking, or cleanup is what hooked me from the start. As a busy mom of 4, this makes my life so much easier. You can choose from over 35 different options a week, and they include keto, protein plus, calorie smart, vegan, and veggie, and more. Aside from their incredibly convenient 2-minute meals, Factor also has snacks, smoothies, midday bites, and more that you can add on to your weekly order. These options are great for on the go. A few of my favorite meals so far are the shredded chicken taco bowl that punches 44 grams of protein, and the roasted garlic chicken, with 40 grams of protein. If you need a week or two off, no problem. Factor makes it easy to pause or reschedule your deliveries at any time. Personally, I love to get meals when we have busier weeks when I'm unable to cook. Factor is also celebrating Earth Day all month long, so be sure to look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/Lindsay50, that's L-Y-N-Z-Y 50, and use the code Lindsay50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box. That's code Lindsay50 at factormeals.com/Lindsay50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
The trickle-down effect, you know, that's not in the office. That goes to, like, one of my best friends, I watched her kid for like an hour the other day, and she was like, I owe you. Thank you so much. I'm like, you do not owe me. Why are we still at this point where we can't ask for help? Like, it shouldn't be, and we're bad about that even, like, we've gotten off there. But at first, you know, you don't want to, like, burden anyone.
Yeah, you feel so guilty.
You have to. You just, like, we have to be able to do all the things we want to achieve. And it's amazing for our children, too. I think sometimes we forget that them being loved and surrounded and supported by other people is great for them, too.
Oh, it's so important. And that, I just read this book. Have you guys read Hunt, Gather, Parent?
No, but I keep seeing it come up.
Oh, my gosh. It is so phenomenal. And I had, one person that is in my community had responded when I had mentioned it. They were like, we did a book club on this and we discussed it at length. And we did come up with the conclusion that it's kind of unfair, kind of the approach that she's coming from of like, hey, community-based parenting has been and will be like the best way to kind of raise kiddos, which obviously makes sense. But how are we supposed to do that when we're such an individualistic society and we reward that? And so how are we ever supposed to get to a point where we are just able to have our family surrounding us, our friends surrounding us, and people actually have the time to help each other and they're focused more on community rather than their individual gains? It's just, it requires so much more than kind of what she was describing in the book. But I do think what she said is just so valuable. Like, I think she was talking about a tribe in Africa, and basically all the moms, every single day, all of the moms and the dads, they come together in the main, whatever, community area. And the moms, basically the dads go out and hunt, and they'll take some kids with them or whatever to hunt. But all the other kiddos, they stay behind. And like, it is a community parenting situation where they'll go gather water or food. They do it all as a group. And like, they're raised by all the other moms too. So it's not just, I feel like here in America, it's like your kids, your responsibility 100% of the time. And our kids could benefit so much more by having other people in their life that are influencing them and teaching them, because you're just getting so much more out of that. It's so much more rich to have the opinions and advice from like your elders and stuff compared to just listening to just your mom all the time, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, I found it fascinating, but I did understand where, you know, the person in my community was coming from, where she was like, well, that's not really a possibility here. Like, how are we supposed to cultivate that here in America? And it's like, well, you're kind of right. Like, it's kind of tough.
Well, we did at one time, right?
Right. You know? Well, that's kind of
work all the time. And
That's what the book actually, it kind of talks about how, I don't know, however many years ago it was, where we focused on just the whole family unit. So it was like grandparents always lived together with everybody else, and then sometimes even more extended family. And so you lived in a compound, and it was more of a community than it was ever just the nuclear family of like, you know, two parents and a kid or whatever. Like, it wasn't that way. There was multiple adults, no matter what, at home all the time. And you didn't have to worry about like, hey, I'm going to go, whatever, hunt and gather something. But like, there was always other people there with your kids. You never had to worry about it. It wasn't like, I don't know. And we've just become a society now where it's like, I feel guilty even being like, hey, can you take my kid to lacrosse? It's crazy how we've gone from one extreme to the complete opposite extreme, but you do. You feel extreme guilt when you have to like involve anybody else in your day to day.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot, how we live in this like privacy fence mentality and everyone kind of lives in their box and, you know, runs ragged and does their own thing and has trouble asking for help. And, you know, this country does make it hard because we live all over the place. A lot of people don't have those, you know, grandparents or aunts and uncles and extended family right there. You kind of have to create your village and find those people. And I think that's really hard in motherhood too. And we've talked a lot about that is making mom friends and really, you know, making quality mom friends that you know are going to help, you know, pick them up from school and be a safe space for them or help wipe their bottoms if you're not around. And it's not easy. It can be done. I think, you know, we're really starting to lay roots here where we are in Kansas City and find those people around us who are our village. We weren't meant to do this alone, and we're biologically wired to do it with that village. So the village does look different. I don't know that we can recreate it with our, you know, little family on a plot of land, but I think really taking a step out and looking at the people around you and trying to find those people who do share the same values as you and who will love your babies like their own is so important. So hard, but so important.
And I think the first step in that is just being transparent with people and just being honest and vulnerable and saying like, hey, like, I know I'm not able to help out a lot because I have three kids and my husband's always gone, but I really can take them today. Like, let me take them to the park, or, you know, I'm more than happy to carpool for this because it works in my schedule and it's not a big deal. I think we're always trying to like keep score, and make sure that we don't owe someone. And it's just not the case. I am in a place now where I can help some, and it feels good and I like it, and it's good for my kids. My kids love it. Sometimes it's selfish. I'm like, please let me babysit your kid because then they can play together.
Right. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And I've had those discussions too. Now that like our kids are more and more involved in like certain things, I'm like, how am I going to ever get my kids to where they need to go? Like, there's no chance. There's two of us. One of us is only usually home, and we have four kids. It's like an impossibility. And so I've just come to the conclusion of, okay, I'm going to start asking for help and I'm not going to feel guilty about it. It took a long time to get there though. And I, you know, I've mentioned it to multiple people and they're like, you will be able to pay us back one day. If that day is not in the next year, it doesn't matter. It's not, like you said, it's not about keeping score. You have to let go of that guilt and just let people help you. And here's the thing. We don't talk enough about being the helper is really rewarding. When I am able to like volunteer myself for either taking kids over to our house or being able to do that carpool, I feel really good about that. It gives me like this sense of accomplishment, and I feel like I'm part of a team, part of a community. Like, it really, the person that's helping you wants to do it, you know? And I don't think we think about that much. We think about, you know, we're putting this burden on them and, you know, you just feel guilt about it, but they want to help you, you know? And it gives them joy to be able to help you.
100%.
So anyways, all that, that whole curve from the conversation, I think it's so important to kind of hone in on what is kind of plaguing mothers today. And I love that you guys were able to carve out this space and see what the deep needs were and being able to create that space. And I hope that sometime in the future, whether it's 20, 50 years from now, like, no one will need your app and that it'll just be, you know, it'll just be how we live our life, right? Like, that would be the ultimate goal, would be that we are given exactly what we need as a species, you know, support for everything that we need it for, just like they do in a couple other countries.
Yeah. My goal is just helping moms. And, you know, it's hard to say that because, of course, we live in America and we do live under capitalism. So we have to survive. But it's not our goal to be a unicorn company or retire at 40. Our goal is to help people, provide for our family, and truly change lives. And it can be as simple as coming back to neutral and being mindful. Yeah. You know, that's a buzzword and people think they're too busy for it, but too busy for it, you need it two times more.
And here's the thing. As a mom of four who also works, you can do it. I promise you. I promise you. If you just decide to put your phone away for like an entire week, you'll realize that you have the time for it. And I didn't realize I had time for anything either until I did just that. So you definitely have time for it. So can we start off with, why do you think Why is mindfulness so important for mothers specifically?
We talked about this before the episode on how to really help women understand why it's so important, especially in this season. I think I was, you know, guilty of it too before motherhood, of not really understanding the importance of it, or like, that's, you know, woo-woo, or I don't need it. But motherhood specifically is such a vulnerable season. There's just so many factors that impact your mental health, including sleep deprivation and hormone changes and relationship and just general stressors and ebbs and flow of inevitable stressors of motherhood, that I think learning that it doesn't have to be this all or nothing, it doesn't have to be this huge lifestyle overhaul. It can be these like small micro changes and habit shifts that can really help you to flex that muscle, just like, you know, working out, and you have to, you know, do it every few days or every day to really reap the benefits. It's the same thing with mindfulness and being able to find things that you can implement into your busy schedule and to be able to flex that, even if it's minutes a day, to help build that resilience and to really do some inward observing and figure out, you know, what tools do I have and what have I done in the past with big emotions and big stressors, and really realizing that we can literally change the structure and function of our brain by doing these things and, you know, building this resilience to this stressful world that we're parenting in is so, so important.
Yeah. And I think practicing them on the good days is what we try to message to people, so that when you are having those hard days, because they are inevitable, that you're reaching for those, and those become second nature versus, oh my gosh, I need a bottle of wine, it's 3 o'clock, or yelling, or taking it out on your partner, or what have you. Is that's when you get to really see it in action, being able to implement a pause.
Yeah. So what do you suggest for the person that's listening that's like, oh yeah, I don't think I can do this? Like, how do you suggest they start? And how much time are you thinking you start off with on a daily basis?
Micro moments. So I like to habit stack. And I think that that's a way you can integrate it into your life, because that's what it's about, right? Like, anytime we've tried a crazy diet or said we're going to work out 7 days a week, like, guess what? It doesn't happen. Like, you fall off eventually, but integrating it into your already busy life. So whether that is repeating affirmations to yourself while you're brushing your teeth, maybe you, I mean, we have them in our app, which would be a great place to find them, but maybe they're on a post-it note on your mirror and you recite over to yourself, I am a good mother, I trust my instincts, while you're brushing your teeth. That's what, 2 minutes, done. Maybe you're downstairs brewing coffee, and while you're waiting on that, you are doing some deep breathing and really centering yourself for the day, setting intention for what you're going to focus on instead of focusing on all the negative things that happened. Maybe you didn't get a great sleep last night. Maybe you said you were going to cry it out and then you didn't. Or I always say, I'm not going to let my kids sleep with me when my husband's on overnight, and they all three slept in my bed last night. So move on from it and just reset. Or Carline. I mean, that's where I do it the most now, is whether it's at pickup or drop off, in between practices. There's a lot of time you're sitting on your phone and or in your car, and I guarantee you just instinctively are scrolling and you don't even realize.
Oh, for sure.
Whether it's shopping, whether it's Instagram, Amazon. I mean, we just do it, and it's like such a waste of time. So if you just have that instinct to go to, I'm going to do a 4-minute meditation right now. So that's our biggest tip, is integrating it and not saying like you're going to do it 20 minutes a day as soon as you wake up, because we have kids. Like, you're probably
that's not going to
open up you to a crying, screaming baby or a toddler standing over your face. Find a different way that you know you have that time that's already in your day.
Yeah. Absolutely. Do you guys talk at all about in your app about journaling? I feel like I've seen so many things like, I mean, obviously we definitely know that meditation is good for us. Like, there's so much research to kind of support that. But I used to journal all the time. Like, right when I was little, like, you know, I don't know, as a teen, I would write in my journal like every night. And it's so funny because I feel like it helped me so much during that time where, you know, you have so many feelings every day you wake up, you have hormones, you have like situations at school. And it was just so great to be able to kind of let this word vomit puddle onto a piece of paper. And it's funny because you just kind of do away with it. And like, I haven't journaled, gosh, in like forever. And I can't remember what I was reading recently, but the support for the research behind journaling is actually pretty profound. And I'm like, oh, maybe I should start doing this again? You know, at the end of the day, you just write down, today was really great and I'm thankful for XYZ. I'm really stressed out about XYZ. It doesn't have to be like this long form writing, which I think can be really intimidating, right? Because you're like, okay, like a really busy, crazy day. Now I have to sit down and like write it all out. You know what I mean? But do you have anything like that yet?
We do. We have journal prompts. So whether that's to get you kind of thinking, if you're kind of like, I don't know what to write, or maybe you're like, why am I hung up on this issue? We have a lot of different journal prompts, whether it's reflection or you're in a tough season, you're exhausted. I personally love journaling. I kind of do go in spurts of where I do it religiously and then other times I can drop off. But it is so powerful. And I think you have to move away from like, you're not writing a letter and it's not poetic and nothing's grammatically correct. It's just literally just angry, frustrated.
Yeah.
And then sometimes when you write it out or say it in your head, you're like, oh, okay, that's really not that big of a deal. Moving on. You just kind of release it. So I do love it, but I know that's definitely not for everyone. So that's why we're encouraging people, like if meditation isn't for you, maybe it is journaling. Maybe if it's affirmations, maybe it's just like the 5-minute gratitude journal on Amazon is like so simple. It's what you said. It's like 3 things I'm grateful for. Yep. This is what I'm looking forward to today. And I think even that one, like, what are you looking forward to today? It's just such a positive way to start your day of like, not all the things I'm dreading for today. It's like, oh, I'm excited to hear the birds sing or pick up my kid from school or whatever it is.
Yeah. And I mean, I hate toxic positivity, like where it's, I know your life really sucks, but like, let's be positive. Like it's totally not that. It's just like, I think it can really help when you're in a season of this is really hard, right? Like it might be as simple as I'm at home with my 4 kids every day and every day seems so tough because of their ages and like the season that I'm currently in. And hey, here's 3 things though that I think I'm like really, really grateful for. And it can just kind of just change your attitude just slightly enough where I feel like over time that really, really helps you, you know, in your mental health.
Yeah, for sure. We talk a lot about that. You know, we don't think journaling is going to completely change your life, but it can help you recognize the little glimmers throughout the day when every day does feel like Groundhog's Day or like the same, you know, stressors every day. It can really help just to shift your mindset a little bit to help recognize those glimmers of joy that are happening in the mundane, in the middle of all the chaos. It can be such a powerful tool and something that literally can take you minutes a day.
Yeah. What are both of your favorite ways to like practice mindfulness? If you had 5 or 10 minutes to yourself, like where would you be and how would you be practicing it?
I think my favorite have been, this is also new to me. Like as we've built this, I've really learned, you know, tools that work for me and that feel good. And I'm learning right alongside all of you. But I think my favorite have been the walking meditations. Like I have a hard time laying still and trying to, and I'm working on that. I would love to get to a point where I can lay and calm my mind and really, you know, learn to meditate the correct, like longer form. But I think right now in this season, being able to, you know, throw a helmet on my kiddo and follow him on his bike while I'm also able to kind of disconnect for a minute and do these walking meditations and just start to kind of flex that muscle and learn what it feels like to pull myself out of this constant fight or flight or this constant heightened anxiety that we all kind of live at and break free from that bustle, even if it's just for a few minutes, has been super helpful.
I love that one too, because you're like triple dipping. You get to be outside and you're moving and like, it feels good. And that's kind of like that. I am super mom. Look what all I can do. But for me, more like I find that just deep breathing is very practical for me and really works. And it like shocks me like how honestly quickly like a couple deep cycles of like 4-7-8 breath or box breathing can really recenter me and remind me that I am in control and I'm not my thoughts. And I can slow down. And it's been a really fun tool to teach my children. And so now that they're getting a little bit older, it's funny when they're like, mommy, I think you need to do a lion breath. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I do. So it's a cool one to teach them too, because sometimes you can see them using it and maybe they're not using it yet, but they know about it. And I definitely didn't know about that when I was 5. So it's really cool to kind of just see those light bulbs start to click for them. And that's one that you can do anywhere, anytime, whether it's I have a really big presentation coming up and I'm nervous, or your mother-in-law is saying something that's like pissing you off. You can just breathe. You can breathe through it. And I think it's cool that it's always with you. You don't need silence.
What did you call this? Lion breath?
There is a lion breath when it's like, it's just kind of like a, like you roar.
Oh,
like,
I love that. My kids will love this.
Yeah. The animal breaths, they really like the mama and me collection one. Those are fun. But that one I wouldn't do when someone's talking to me, but you can do like
Why not? Can you imagine if you're like in the middle of talking with somebody and just all of a sudden that's what they
do? That to my husband like, sometimes. Okay. Oh, I laugh at them.
Clearly this conversation's over. You walk us through box breathing?
Yeah. So it's super simple and very effective to really kick yourself, you know, remind your mind and your body that you are safe and there's no immediate threats, and also so easy to teach your kids and to literally do anywhere. You can imagine a box, you can draw a box or trace it with your finger, but it's really just a slow inhale through your nose for four, hold it for four as you imagine going across the box, exhale out of your mouth for four, and then hold for four. And just repeating that and slowly just tracing it in your mind or imagining a box. And right.
Yeah, that's what I do. I think of the little ball and it's like you're dragging your cursor across, like inhaling for four while you watch it go across. Then I'm going down as I hold for four, dragging it back across for four and then up for four, and then just repeating that pattern. It's really soothing too, to have like a image. And
yeah, I feel like it helps your mind from wandering too much, because that's what I've always found to be a little difficult. I love to go outside and like be in nature. And so like I'll go out, but then if you're not focusing in on something, it's sometimes easy for your mind to be like, oh, the dishes, oh, this. And I'm like, no, this is not your time. Like, I want to have my time. So if you're able to kind of have that visualization, it really helps to kind of keep your mind more focused.
Yeah. And it really just helps you to recenter. Like Megan said, it's always pretty cool to feel your body literally shift from this stress state when we're stressed, you know, and we're exhaling really short and we kind of live in this. I know I do. I feel like caffeine and cortisol, and it's like go, 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 go. So I think just having these quick tools that take seconds and to have them readily available is super effective.
Have you guys heard of forest bathing?
Forest bathing? No, but I want to do that.
No, but it sounds awesome. So I had a guest on, you mentioned like walking meditation, and it made me think of this because we had mentioned it in the episode, but her name was Laura Cochran. She's a PA, but she turned into a lifestyle medicine educator and a health and wellness coach. And she does a lot of like walking meditation, forest bathing type sessions. It's like the coolest thing ever. And I applaud her so much for like being like, hey, I think this is really important. And she like shifted, you know, her into that and into something totally different. And I think that's so amazing. And she focuses in a lot on how, you know, just being in nature really significantly impacts your physical and emotional health. So anyway, all that to say, she was telling me how, you know, that they have forest bathing sessions and like walking meditations, usually in every community. So I'm like, oh yeah, right. They don't have that here. Sure enough, I Googled it. There's forest bathing 15 minutes from me.
Do you wear clothes when you're laying in the forest? Is this a nudist? I've seen this.
I think you could do whatever you want, but if you're with a group, you're probably wearing clothes. I mean, it's totally up to you, and people do whatever, you know, these days. So I'm sure you could. But yeah, I mean, like she was talking about doing it. Like she does forest bathing like by herself. Like she does the practice and she'll go out and do it. But I can only imagine that, you know, wading in some body of water, like in the middle of a forest, naked would be very exhilarating, right? Especially in like, you know, in the current times that we live in. But yeah, I just thought it was really, really cool. Like you can kind of look up, like if you want to take, you know, one or two other girlfriends and say, hey, let's go do this together. I think that would be really awesome. And again, obviously this is going to take more of your time than, hey, like some box breathing for 2 minutes. But like once you've done that, you know, for a long time and you're like, you know what, I do want to carve out an hour or two to do this, but they have like walking meditations and like forest bathing, you know, sessions that are pretty much anywhere in the country, which is wild.
Yes. And let's normalize that, because we would never think it's weird or ridiculous for a mom to go schedule a happy hour.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Why can't we go with our friends to walk around in nature? And it is, it's such a good reminder that how big our earth and world is, and that we're just a small piece of it. And
yeah.
sometimes that's a good perspective to be like, okay, my problems are manageable. And I know sometimes they're not. That's not to say that, you know, I know people are dealing with a lot of really hard things right now, but most days I think
Well, your mindset's everything though, no matter what. Your mindset is really everything. But anyway, is there anything that you guys wanted to touch on this topic that we might not have covered?
I think the only thing that when we were chatting before is just back to like why this is important and should I do it or not? And I'm so busy already is understanding your tolerance versus your capacity. And we know that you can be super mom and run to 3 practices all across town and get everyone a healthy snack and still make the PTA and do all these things. We know you can, but should you be doing all those things? Do you have the capacity for it? Is that wreaking havoc on your body, your relationships, other facets of your life that are so important? And what is your capacity? What can you say no to? And that's not a reflection of like, you can't do it or you weren't a good enough mother. It's really understanding your boundaries and where and you need boundaries and saying no or stepping back to things that really honor your values and how you want to live. Because we know you can fly through this world and be so productive. But do you want to live like that? And do you want your kids to see you like that? And how do you want them to live? And I think that'll a lot of times I'm like, I don't want my children to think that they have to like be overachievers so that we like approve or love on them. Like I want them to, you know, love it if they would just go bathe in the forest.
I know. Yeah, I love that you mentioned that. When I was on Instagram, I'd have people all the time saying, how do you do? Honestly, this is probably the top, one of the top 3 questions that I ever got. And it was, how do you manage it all? Like you always have everything so pulled together. And I think this speaks to so many different things. One, it speaks to, you know, you're only showing people a very, very small snapshot of your life. Like your life, as we've seen with these crazy influencers that have gotten like arrested for like crazy things, that what you're showing on the internet could be very vastly different from what is not on the internet, obviously. But that a lot of these people have so much help and are not always forthcoming with the fact that they do have that help, right? So like recognizing that you might not be seeing the full picture, recognizing that they might have a ton of help behind the scenes. And in my case, I didn't have help behind the scenes. And what happened was it kind of wreaked havoc on my own mental health. And, you know, people kept saying, oh my gosh, you can do it all. And I was like, I can, until I couldn't anymore. And so I love that you brought that up because I do feel like sticking up for yourself and saying, hey, you know, like it would be cool and I could do that, but I'm not going to. And sometimes it's really, really powerful to be able to say no and, you know, set those boundaries for yourself because they're so, so important. All right, I have 2 questions for you guys that I ask everybody. So if you guys could give advice to mother, like one piece of advice, what would the piece of advice be?
I think my advice is that investing in yourself is an investment in your family. I don't think that we have to pour constantly from this empty cup, and it's not selfish to invest in things that help you build this barrier of resilience to all of the stressors and all of the just inevitable changes that motherhood brings. So I think turning away from this notion that, you know, you're just your mom now, you're Graham's mom. You're not, you know, you are still you and you still deserve to invest in yourself is an important piece of advice I wish I would have known going into motherhood, I guess.
Yeah. I would say ask for help. I was so much happier and such a better mom when I started asking for help, whether that was asking my partner to take a night or wash the bottles, or it was asking my mom to come visit us or Lauren to clean my bathtub when I was in labor or whatever it was. Like, it feels really good to give help, and it can just be such a weight off your shoulders. When you first do it, you get better and better and better at it.
Yeah. And like you said earlier, you may be in a season of receiving. That does not mean that you may not be in a season someday of giving back and being the helper and the giver. Mm-hmm. But if you are struggling with something, or you just had a new baby, or you're in a hard season, it's okay to be in a season of receiving, and being able to sit with that and accept the help is a learned skill. We're still practicing. We've gotten much better, but I wish I would have done it sooner.
Yes. Yes, exactly. All right. If either of you could make a meal for your family that everyone would eat, that's relatively quick and easy, what would it be?
Taco bowls. My kids love any.
That's going to be the top answer. Taco bowls.
It probably, so cliche, but my kids will annihilate tacos. So that is the one thing I feel like combines like my love for eating decently healthy, my husband's love for eating whatever is on the table, and my three kids who are picky in their own little ways, we can all sit and happily eat tacos. So that's a menu favorite right now.
Ours is breakfast for dinner.
Yep.
And I used to think my mom was like, so cool that she would do that. Now I just realized she was really freaking tired, and we always had that stuff in the house. We always had eggs, milk, and
Totally.
Some Bisquick, something she could whip up. And it's easy, and everyone can kind of find something that they enjoy. So breakfast for dinner for us is usually a Thursday or Sunday.
Or all days of the week. I love it. All right. Well, thank you so much, Lauren and Megan, for taking time out of your busy schedules to have this really important conversation today. I appreciate the both of you.
Oh, we thank you so much for having us. And this was a fun one, and we hope it resonated. And we'd love to welcome some of your listeners into our community, and we can like set up a discount code and all that fun stuff for the show notes and not. But thank you
so much.
Good.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. All resources mentioned in this episode can be found in the show notes on lindsayandco.com. To continue these important conversations, head over to Motherhood Meets Medicine on Instagram. Let me know what you learned from this episode and who you would love to hear from next. I always love getting feedback from you. If you're finding value in this podcast, please rate, review, subscribe, and share with a friend. This will help us to reach even more women from around the world. I'll catch you next week. Until then, don't forget to find some time to unplug, unwind, and have a little fun.